Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something proper. A warehouse code style respatch stack in Ableton Live 12. This is advanced, so we're not chasing a flashy one oscillator trick. We're building a bass instrument with roles. One layer for sub, one for movement and width, and one for dirt, edge, and attitude. That separation is what keeps the sound huge without destroying the mix. The reason this matters in drum and bass is simple. A restack has to do three jobs at once. It has to carry the low mid body, create motion in the stereo field, and give the drop a strong identity. If you try to make one layer do all of that, the low end gets messy, the phase gets unstable, and the drums lose authority. But if you split the job up properly, you get something that feels like one powerful machine. So let's build it from the ground up. Start with the mindset that this is not one super patch. It's a stack. Create a MIDI track or an instrument rack with three chains, and think in terms of function. One chain is the sub, one is the main res, one is the texture layer. If you want maximum control, separate MIDI tracks are often the better move, because you can process each layer independently and commit to audio later if needed. First, make the sub boring on purpose. That is a compliment, by the way. The sub should be plain, stable, and completely mono. Use operator or analog and build something as close to a sine as you can get. No chorus, no unison, no stereo spread. Keep the envelope tight. If you want a punchy note, use a short decay and release. If you want it to breathe a little more, let it hold slightly longer, but don't let it blur into the next hit. A good starting point is a clean oscillator with a very fast attack, a decay somewhere around 120 to 250 milliseconds, and the pitch sitting where the tune needs it. Usually that means somewhere in the 35 to 60 Hz region depending on key. Then use EQ aid only if you need to clean up anything above the fundamental. If the source is truly clean, you may barely touch it. Why this works in D&B is because the sub is your anchor. It lets the res get aggressive without making the drop wobble. The club hears the attitude in the mids, but physically feels the sub underneath it. That's the difference between a bass that sounds cool and a bass that actually works on a system. Now build the main res layer. This is where the movement lives. Wavetable, operator, or analog all work here. A saw or a square-based source is a strong starting point because it gives you enough harmonic content to shape. The key is controlled detune. Not huge, not super so wide. Just enough to create that unstable, moving mid-range that feels alive. Keep the unison modest. 2 to 4 voices max if you want discipline. Use a low-pass or band-pass filter to focus the body and keep the filter envelope short and punchy. A little filter movement can make the bass bloom and then pull back. That movement is the personality of the sound. What to listen for here is important. The note should feel alive when it's held, but it should still feel like one pitch. If it starts sounding like a wide pad, you've gone too far. If it sounds too thin or static, you probably need a little more detune, a little more harmonic content, or a little more filter animation. Now for the texture layer. This is where the warehouse character starts to appear. This layer is not here to carry the low end. It's here to give the bass menace, grain, and mechanical edge. You can duplicate the main res idea or create a fresh layer with another operator or wavetable patch, then process it harder. A strong approach is to run it through saturator with a few dB of drive, maybe add overdrive or pedal if you want dirtier harmonics, and then high pass it so it never competes with the sub. A high pass around 120 to 180 Hz is a solid starting point. You can also use auto filter to automate movement, which helps the bass feel like it's breathing with the phrase. What to listen for here is the sweet spot between grit and fizz. You want the bass to gain a mechanical snarl or a dense, rusty texture. You do not want it to become sharp, fizzy, or thin. If it sounds exciting in solo but disappears once the drums come in, it usually means it's too narrow in harmonic density or too weak in the mid-range. Before you add more processing, balance the layers. This step saves a lot of pain later. Use utility on each chain and get the levels roughly right first. The sub should be the anchor. The res should read as the main character in the mids. The texture layer should be just loud enough that you notice when it disappears. Then use EQ8 to separate the jobs even more cleanly. High pass the texture so it stays out of the low end. If the main res is sitting on top of the sub too much, high pass it a little as well, usually somewhere around 60 to 90 Hz depending on how much low mid weight you want in that layer. If the whole stack is muddy, look around 200 to 350 Hz and carve carefully. If you need more bite, the 700 Hz to 2 kHz area is often where the character starts to speak. And if it gets painful, don't just shelf the highs blindly. Control the harsh region with intention. This is one of the main reasons the patch works in D&B. The layers are not fighting for the same space. The kick can punch, the snare can crack, the sub can stay solid, and the reese can still feel huge. Now let's talk movement. In dark DNB, the bass should move like a controlled machine, not like a wobble bass. Use subtle modulation on the reese layer. Slow filter movement works beautifully. A little automation on cutoff, a tiny change in saturation, or a slight attuned drift over one or two bars can add life without turning the bass into chaos. You can think of it like this: smooth and hypnotic on one side, nasty and aggressive on the other. If you want the smoother version, keep the detune lower, keep the filter movement slower, and ease up on the saturation. That's perfect for rollers and deeper WDNB. If you want the nastier version, push the drive a bit harder, add a little more mid-range bite, and let the texture layer get rougher. That leans more into neurotinged or warehouse pressure. And here's a really useful mindset shift: don't aim for constant movement. Constant movement is not the same as energy. Sometimes the strongest move is to keep the bass stable through most of the phrase, then introduce a small destabilizing event right before the snare or at the end of the bar. That kind of restraint often feels heavier than non-stop modulation. Once the layers are balanced and moving in the right way, group them and apply gentle processing on the bus. Keep it light. A Q8 first if needed, then a glue compressor for a couple of dB of glue at most, and maybe a saturator with soft clip if you need density without the stack jumping in level. If the mid-range is unstable, multiband dynamics can help, but only if the problem is real. Don't compress just because you can. If the bass starts sounding smaller after processing, back off. What to listen for now is glue, not mush. The layers should feel slightly more unified, but not flattened. You want density, not a gray wall of bass. At this point, put in the drums, kick, snare, hats, maybe a break top. This is where the truth appears. A bass patch can sound enormous in solo and still fail the track. So check the interaction immediately. Ask yourself, does the kick still hit clearly? Does the snare still cut through? Does the bass swallow the ghost notes or blur the groove? If the kick disappears, don't just turn the kick up. First, carve a little space in the bass. Shorten the note length slightly, reduce the sub tail, or ease the energy around the kick's fundamental. If the snare loses authority, inspect the 200Hz to 1 kHz zone and trim what's crowding it. This is the moment where a lot of advanced students level up, because they stop designing a bass and start designing a drum and bass record. That's the real goal. Once the tone and groove are right, commit or resample. If the patch starts becoming too complex to manage, print it to audio. In Ableton, resample the bass phrase onto a new track, consolidate a clean 2-bar or 4-bar loop, and make tiny edits if needed. This is huge in warehouse-style DNB, because the sound design is often part of the arrangement. Audio gives you precision. You can trim tails, slice fills, and shape transitions without constantly tweaking the synth. Keep both versions if you can. Have a live patch as your source and a printed audio version as your arrangement tool. That way you can keep writing without getting stuck in sound design purgatory. Now make the phrase feel like a drop, not just a loop. A strong restack usually works best as a clear 2-bar or 4-bar statement. Maybe bar 1 is darker and longer. Bar 2 answers with a shorter rhythm or a small octave change. Then repeat with one change in the next phrase. That little change is enough to keep the drop alive. For the second half of a drop, you might open the filter a little, add a higher octave shadow note, or briefly remove the sub before a fill. Small changes like that create progression without throwing away the identity of the bass. That matters in DNB, because you want enough repetition to lock the floor, but enough evolution that the tune doesn't feel stuck. And always do the mono check. Use utility, collapse the bass to mono, and listen carefully. The sub should stay stable. The main reese should lose some width but keep its identity. The texture layer might get smaller, and that's fine, as long as the phrase still reads. If the bass changes drastically in mono, the wide layers are carrying too much of the character. Narrow the lower mids, high pass the wide texture more aggressively, or simplify the oscillator spread. A good club rule is this: keep the weight mono safe and let the attitude live above it. There are a few common mistakes to watch for. The first is making the whole reese stereo, including the low end. That feels huge in headphones but weakens the club response. The second is pushing detune so far that the bass becomes a pad. The third is leaving the mids dirty after distortion, which creates that boxy 200 to 500 Hz buildup. And the fourth is overprocessing the group before the layers are actually balanced. Fix the layer rolls first, then add glue. A really useful pro move is to keep one clean version and one dangerous version of the patch. The clean version is your mix anchor. The dangerous version has more drive, more motion, and more bite. You can use the aggressive version for fills, second drop moments, or resampled accents, while keeping the safer one as the foundation. That gives you control without losing the warehouse energy. And don't forget the snare. In heavy DNB, the snare is the reality check. If the snare still feels like the loudest, sharpest event in the bar once the bass comes in, you're in a good zone. If the bass starts flattening that impact, it's probably too broad, too sustained, or too loud in the wrong part of the spectrum.